afternoon, sir. Have a good day. There's a website right there at the bottom, sir.
Okay, I have an email address.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Have a good day. Have a good day. Have a good day. He read it, and now he's coming back.
Do you have a large email list of people?
A large email list? No, I don't maintain an email list.
Email or contact, whatever, you know, in your emails, and you also keep their...
Oh, yeah, the people who contact me, yeah, I stay in touch with.
Yeah, but do you have a lot of people? Or...
No, not too many.
Okay. Well, I wanted to send you something, because I definitely disagree.
Oh, why do you disagree?
With a couple of things.
What do you disagree with? My name's Tony, by the way. Sam?
Samuel.
Samuel, nice to meet you, sir.
He who listens to God in Hebrew. That's what I'm saying.
Uh-huh, right. What do you disagree with?
Well, let me see. Well, I'll start with the first one, if I can find it. I don't agree with God's punishment for sins, eternity, and hell.
Okay, who determines that?
We do.
No, that would make us God.
No.
God determines that.
We have free will. And with our free will, we determine our destiny.
That's not true.
God.
Because our free will, Samuel, is limited to our nature, and we're sinful by nature.
No, we have a soul, too.
Yes, spirit. Right, and we're sinful.
And it separates itself from God by its decisions, by its wrongful use of free will.
It's sin.
That's it. Wrong. Anything that separates you from God is sin. And being separate from God is sin. Anything that causes or supports separation from God is sin.
Well, sin, in addition to that, sin is the violation of God's law.
That's what separates us from God. God is love. Anything that separates us from love is not sin.
Well, God is not only love. God is holy and righteous and just and wrathful and merciful and kind.
And all those pertain to love. So
no, actually, they all...
All of those you just mentioned also pertain to love.
Well, love is not the overarching characteristic of God. God is holy in every respect. He's holy. So his love is holy. His wrath is holy.
I agree that it's more than that. But love is also far more than human mind can comprehend.
Well, God's love, yes. God's love is perfect. Our love is not.
Exactly.
Our love is not.
Okay. Love, I'm not talking about human love when I say love. Love is what makes the grass grow, makes the trees grow. It's the same thing.
Well, no, it's God's will. It's God's sovereignty. It's God's holiness.
But it's through love that he does everything.
And it's through love that he
creates everything.
And it's through love that he punishes all wrongdoing.
What's the definition of God?
God is.
What is that?
God is. God is spirit. God is.
What's he look like?
You've never seen God. I've never seen God.
Okay.
God is. God is spirit.
The best definition of God that I've come across is in a book that the Catholic Church made sure it didn't get into the Bible. It's in the secret book of John.
Well, there is no such thing as a secret book of John.
There is.
And the Catholic Church didn't decide what books would be in the Bible and what books wouldn't. So, Samuel, what do you think is going to happen to you when you die? What do you think is going to happen to you when you die? So you don't have any strength of your conviction, Samuel?
Yeah, I do.
The Bible says the wicked flee when no one pursues.
I know exactly where I'm going to go.
Where are you going? Where are you going, Samuel?
Well, at the worst, and I have memories of where I was before I was born.
You actually don't. You don't,
I do.
Samuel.
I
you
don't.
Don't. You don't.
See, now, you and I just aren't going to get along.
Well, because I believe the Word of God, and you don't.
The Word of God isn't the Bible.
Yes, it is. It's not you, Samuel.
It's not the Bible.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. It's not anything.
How do you know that? How do you know that, Samuel? How do you know that?
Read John. First chapter tells what the Bible, what the Word of God is.
Yeah, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us.
The Word was in the beginning. Was God and is God before anything was
yes.
created,
and
before
every
the
word,
earth was created,
and Samuel, every word from Genesis 1:1 to the end of Revelation is the word of Christ. Samuel, you need to repent and come to faith in Christ. You're lost right now, man. You're believing in a God of your own imagination. Samuel, Samuel, you're believing a God that you've created in your imagination. He doesn't exist. He doesn't exist outside of your sinful mind, Samuel. Going to be praying for you, sir. Okay, Samuel's coming back for round two. Good afternoon. Have a good day. I knew you'd come back. I knew you'd come back.
I got something that's so good to say, though.
That's okay. Samuel, in the end, it doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is whether or not what we believe is true. It doesn't matter what we believe. What matters is whether or not what we believe is true.
Yes.
And if you deny the Word of God, you do not believe anything that is true.
Not anything written by man.
That's not true, Samuel. That's not true. Samuel, you don't know that.
I do.
You don't.
I do.
How do you know that, Samuel? How do you know?
I know.
No, Samuel, that's insufficient. Samuel, that's insufficient, Samuel. You're appealing to the authority of yourself.
It's mindsets like yours that give Christianity a bad name.
So you're judgmental as well.
Nobody wants to have anything to do with Christianity because of...
Samuel, you have to have all knowledge to know that, Samuel. What's upsetting to you, Samuel, is you know that what you read was true, but it came too close to your sin-stained heart. You know you will stand before God and give an account for your life, and you don't like that because you love your sin more than you love God. You love yourself more than you love God, and you presume to be God.
You don't even know what God is on your top.
Samuel, sure I do, Samuel.
No, you don't.
You'll probably come back again, Samuel, because your conscience is pricked. I'll be right here. I'll be right here whenever you're willing to reason. Still praying for you, Samuel. Oh, thanks. What's your name?
Samuel.
Samuel Tony. Nice to meet you. Have a good day. Have a good day. Have a good day.
Yeah, man, you too.
Man, all these guys giving me kisses today. It feels a little weird. Have a good day. You're welcome. Have a good day. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Have a good day.
You too, man.
Have a good day.
Good.
Have a good day. Have a good day.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Have a good day. good day.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome. Have a good day. Have a good day. Have a good day. Have a good day. You're welcome. Have a good day. All right, what's your name?
Chris,
Tony, good to meet you. Don't offer me another kiss. I've had so many guys offer me kisses today. I've got a pocket full. So what's up, Chris? What do you believe spiritually?
Atheist.
What makes you an atheist? Why do you believe you're an atheist?
I don't know, quite honestly. I guess you say an agnostic in a way.
Okay.
I used to believe.
What did you used to believe?
Christianity.
And what did that look like? I mean, that word comes with all kinds of different
not like
connotations.
I don't know how to explain it. Okay, here.
What did you believe?
Okay, well, hold up. I was baptized Catholic, right?
Okay, me too.
Grew up extremely strict family.
Okay.
Hispanic, so it's
okay.
Very...
Sure, yeah.
You know, anything you do in school, you do it wrong, it's in, you know? So I strayed away from that path.
Okay.
And so I got rebaptized to Christianity.
When did that happen?
Maybe... I'd say like seventh grade.
Probably. So 4 or 5 years ago. Okay. All right.
6 years ago.
And then what happened?
Okay. This is the one thing that everyone judges as. Is I think my dad passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
My dad died. He committed suicide and he came back from Iraq.
Your dad served?
Yeah. He served for 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah. So when he came back, the Marine Corps said, "You're too old. Like, we're letting you go."
And that was his life. Oh man.
So
very sorry to hear that.
It's kind of like old news, though. Thank you.
Well, but still, yeah. I mean, I appreciate your dad's 20 years of service, and I hate to see any hero go out that way.
That's true. But that's kind of like the turning point, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
I still practice and I still pray, but I sort of kind of spell out of faith. I mean, I support it because it gives people hope, and that's what it gave me, mm-hmm. and that's the reason why I do respect it. Mm-hmm. It's just currently I'm kind of.
So what changed about God in your mind when your father died? Did God change or did you change?
I think it was, when he died, they had a priest, because I was a child.
Yeah.
I was only 10.
Uh-huh.
They had a priest come out at 3 in the morning.
Okay.
And he talked to me and he explained, you know, like God and my father talked and it was his time to come home. You know, like that's the most simple way they said it.
Yeah.
And so,
you don't believe that though.
So yeah, I kind of like.
I don't believe that either.
Yeah, like I kind of like, you know, like dang you, you know.
I understand that.
That kind of what threw me off.
I understand.
But in a way, like the way I also see it is the agnostic side. Is if he is, like he, she, whatever it is up there, you know,
yeah.
They exist, then I would have to thank them because of the fact that my father died, his settlement money allowed me to go to college.
Okay.
Because I would have never gone to college, or if I would have, I would have been $40,000 dead. I mean, just sophomore year, already 10 grand for tuition.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's kind of like a double negative in a way. Like,
yeah.
It makes it bad, but it's good.
Here's the reality, Chris. You know that God exists. You've always known that. Not because someone taught it to you, but because God has written that reality on your heart. You look at the world around you, you see creation, you know there's a creator. It's reasonable. God has written his law on your heart. You know it's wrong to steal. You know it's wrong to lie. You know it's wrong to fornicate. You know it's wrong to do those things. And the reason is, for instance, you know it's wrong to lie because God's not a liar. You know it's wrong to steal because God's not a thief. You know it's wrong to commit adultery because God's not unfaithful. God's written all those things in your heart.
Yeah.
And what happens is, we suppress that truth, sometimes due to circumstances, but more often than not, we suppress that truth because of the unrighteousness in our own heart. Because on some level, we love our sin more than we love God. Or we love ourselves more than we love God, and we don't want to submit to His authority. Now, as tragic as it was that your father died in the way he died, your heart was already far from God.
Yeah.
You went to Mass because there would be hell to pay if you didn't go to Mass.
That's
right.
True. That's
I went through First Communion.
I did.
But the only reason I did is because my dad promised me a box of, it was 1972, I'm a little older than you, promised me a box of 1972 Topps baseball cards. And my favorite player, Roberto Clemente, I knew was in that box. So I said, yeah, I'll go eat the wafer and drink the sour wine. I'm going to get 600 baseball cards out of it. Woo!
Yeah.
But it meant nothing more to me beyond that.
Yeah.
Right?
My buddy, when he would do communion, first and second, like he did the trip, you know, the way they call not reunions, where they go away.
Mission trip?
Yeah, like those kind of.
He must have been older.
Well, he's my age.
Oh, okay.
But he did, what are they called? Where they go away for a weekend and like.
Oh, like a retreat?
Yeah, a retreat. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay.
And he said that when he did his communions, his parents shelled out like $500.
I'm sure. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And a whole lot of people, a lot of other friends that I grew up with, same thing. They were all in the same retreat. I wasn't in it because my aunt practices, but she's kind of more like I feel like I can pray in my own home and not need to, like, be forced to go somewhere to do it. So that's how she is. My uncle's not really faith. My cousins aren't faith. And so when he told me about his communion, what they basically did is at a Baptist church, they would meet, they would say something from the Bible, you know, read the Bible, and then they would watch a movie, like Lion King, Finding Nemo. And that's what they did for a year.
And so it was cool to him, and so he figured he'd do it.
No, it wasn't cool. He was kind of mad. He told his mom, like, if you send my little brother through the same thing, like, all he's going to do is watch movies all day.
Ah.
And so a year later, when his little brother came time to do it, his little brother did it too, but this time he watched Toy Story 3. Like, that's what it was. And
yeah.
So it made me mad at the churches, not really in general with faith. I mean, I think it's amazing, honestly. I think it's, like, I love seeing this. Like, I love seeing people practice. It's just, for me personally, I'm trying to find faith in other ways.
Well, Chris, faith is only as reliable as the object of your faith. Faith is only as reliable as the object of your faith. If you, for instance, and no offense to your dad, but I'm sure you put a lot of faith in your father. Huh? Most boys growing up
do. Yeah, that's true.
And your dad, for crying out loud, was a hero. I mean,
he's
servant.
My dad was always gone.
Oh, yeah, I understand.
Like, I never really grew up with him.
Right, but your dad let you down.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Right? If you were to put your faith in me, at some point I'm going to let you down. Because I'm a fallible, sinful person, just like your dad and a priest or anybody else. Mm-hmm. We've all sinned, right? If you put your faith in another religion that tells you that something that's not true about God, that religion's going to let you down.
Okay.
Faith is only as reliable as the object of your faith. Right? The Word of God says that we should have faith in no one else other than Jesus Christ. And this is why. Have you ever been on a plane before?
Yeah.
Where'd you fly to? Just pick
Ohio.
One. Ohio, okay.
Sorry.
So let's say we're both on a flight to Ohio. We don't know each other. We just met like we did now. We're cramped in our seats. Flight's going along pretty well. We feel a bump in the plane, though, and it doesn't feel like turbulence. You know, it's just something didn't feel right.
Yeah.
A couple seconds later, the pilot comes over the loudspeaker, and he says, "Folks, we've lost the engines. This plane's going down. There's a parachute under your seat." So we're a bit uptight now, right? We don't want to die in a plane crash. We look under our seat. We see that the parachute's there. We believe the parachute's there.
Okay.
Plane gets a little lower. The doors open up, and the pilot orders everyone to jump for their lives. I put my parachute on, and I jump out of the plane. You don't put your parachute on, and you jump out of the plane. Who survives the fall?
You.
Why?
Because you had the parachute.
But we both believed in it.
Okay, what do you mean? Okay, so I never... I like that.
Here's the difference.
That.
Religion says believe what we tell you to believe, and maybe it'll work out for you in the end. Right? Faith is trusting in the object of your faith to the point that you trust to put it on and know that it will save your life when you jumped out of the plane.
That's good. I'm not going to lie.
That's the difference between religion and faith. You, throughout your life so far, you're what, 18, 19, 20?
18.
You, throughout your life, you have been a somewhat religious person, right? And the difference between what every world religion says and what the Bible says is this. Catholicism, Islam, Mormonism, Judaism, Hinduism, Jehovah's Witness, they all say basically the same thing.
Yeah.
Believe what we're telling you, live by a certain set of rules, and maybe it'll work out for you in the end. Right?
Okay.
The Bible says this, that you and I, because we're dead in our sins spiritually, there's nothing we can do to save ourselves. We need a Savior. And God's provided only one. And that's Jesus Christ.
All right. Can I ask you a question?
Absolutely.
Okay, so I don't know why I thought about this a long time ago. Okay, so Jesus died for our sins, correct?
Jesus died for the sins of those who would turn from their sin and put their trust in Him. Yes.
Okay. That's how I understood it. I understood it the other way. That's why.
Okay.
It's like, you know, like Jesus, like we're all saved. Kind of
yeah.
Like,
if Jesus died for everybody,
mm-hmm.
then why would He talk more about hell than
that's
heaven?
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
And so it was like that because I was just saying because like atheism is a sin, quote unquote. So like
actually, atheism is a religion.
Oh yeah. It's the
worship of God of the yeah. God of self.
Yeah.
Right?
That's true.
In the atheist worldview, they are their God.
Yeah.
Right? So it's just another ism.
Yeah, that's true.
Another God created by men.
I like this. Your approach is a whole lot different than most other people here.
How so?
It's like other people are like, I don't know if you've seen them, they come around in suits. Two black suits about yay tall.
Really?
Even that's kind of scandalous.
Okay.
You know?
All right.
They're not Mormon or anything, because I know Mormons go around and... I never understood that. You got to go catalog for 5 years. But
But again, this is what religion does.
Yeah.
Religion, instead of submitting to the authority of the God in whose image they were created,
mm-hmm.
they create a God to suit themselves.
Okay.
Right? They create a God to suit themselves. The Mormons believe that Jesus was the spirit brother of Satan. Create a God to suit themselves. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is the incarnation of Michael the Archangel.
Yeah.
A God to suit themselves. Even the Roman Catholics, they believe that Jesus has to suffer every day in the Mass. That the bread has to become His body and the wine has to literally become His blood. But yet Jesus said on the cross, it is finished. There was no more work for Him to do. So, Chris, the reality is when you die, you're going to stand before God and give an account for your life, just like the rest of us. And He's not going to judge you based on your religious persuasion. He's not going to judge you based on your nationality or the color of your skin. He's not going to judge you based on the amount of debt you have in school.
Yeah.
He's not going to judge you based on your own perceived goodness. He's going to judge you by His law, the law that He's already written on your heart. You see, God's not arbitrary. He's not going to judge Chris one way by one set of standards and judge Tony another way.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be just. If you and I decided to go rob a liquor store together and we both get caught and we both confess to the crime, we're both found guilty in court, we're standing before the judge, and the judge says, Chris, you're only 18 years old, man. You've got your whole life ahead of you. I'm going to let you go. Forget about the whole thing. Tony, you're about 50, man, and you don't have much time, so I'm just going to put you in prison for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
That wouldn't be right.
Yeah.
Right? That would be arbitrary. We should receive the same punishment for the same crime. Okay? And that's the way it's going to be when we stand before God. If we've sinned against Him in any way, lied, stole, looked with lust, harbored bitterness or resentment in our heart, taken His name in vain,
yeah.
He's going to find us guilty for breaking His law. Because He's good, He must punish our sin. A good judge punishes wrongdoing. Okay? And the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. There is no purgatory. That's something that the Catholic...
What exactly is purgatory?
Purgatory...
Seventh layer of hell or something.
Well, no, no. Purgatory is a place where people with unforgiven, unrepentant sins go to suffer for those sins.
Okay.
Okay, that's what they teach.
For eternity, correct?
Well, no, no. But it could be millions and billions of years, depending on how much sin you have. Well, here's the thing. The Catholic Church invented purgatory for one reason.
Control, man.
Exactly. And money.
Yeah, I know.
Because you could pay...
Yeah, you could pay...
You could pay indulgences, mm-hmm. not only not for your sins, but you could go pay for your grandfather's sin, your grandfather who's in purgatory. You can go pay a certain amount of money to knock off X number of years of his time in purgatory.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, right. There is no purgatory.
Yeah.
There's heaven, and then there's hell. Okay. Yeah. Now, the same God, though, and there's only one God, the same God who's angry with the wicked, the same God who will punish sin, is the same God who is loving and merciful and kind. Okay? Have you ever been in a courtroom before?
Yeah, for God knows how long.
Really?
Yeah, and recently I got in trouble with law.
Okay.
You can call me an artist. I used to record. I worked graffiti for about 5 years.
Yeah.
I fell in love. I hated it.
And I was a deputy sheriff who chased graffiti artists for a number of years.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, because what happened was is I. Like, I would say maybe ninth grade or ninth grade. I walked into the room and I see these two kids writing in a black book. And I'm like, what is that?
Uh-huh.
Like, wait, why are you just drawing letters, you know? And they're like, no, like, you don't understand. Like go away, you know? Like,
this is an art form.
Yeah, they're like, get away. Like, if you don't accept it right away, like, then you can't do it. And so, like, because you're not going to have the heart for it. And I said, okay. I was like, what? Like, I got more curious about it.
Uh-huh.
And then I realized what it was. And I was just like, how could you do that? Like how could you ruin people's stuff? You know, like, I totally was anti-graffiti.
Uh-huh.
And they literally handed me the black book and said, draw in the sketchbook. See if you can do it. If you can't, then okay, you know. But just try it. Like, you don't know until you test the waters. You know? So I went home, and I had all these, because they're real good.
Yeah.
And
some of it's incredible.
Yeah. So they were really, really good. And so I would see theirs, and I would try to replicate it, and I couldn't do it, you know. And so it made me mad, and it made me something, it gave me something to try to do, you know. Because in school, I was already good in school.
Yeah.
I mean, I was already doing real good in classes, but...
Getting bored.
I felt like there was no reward, because I'd come home with straight A's and my family would be like, yeah, that's Chris, you know? And so there was
expected because you did it all the time.
But with graffiti, it was like
notoriety.
You could mess up, but it wasn't even that. Like, when you first started, it was like fame, like the rush. And then literally a month into graffiti, I was just like, I want to write because of the fact that I love painting. Like, there was a time where, like, I still say to this day, like, the most romantic feeling I've ever met wasn't my first love, wasn't my first kiss, wasn't the first day I'd seen the sunset. It was the one time on the side of the freeway when it was raining and I was under a bridge and it was just me and the wall.
Huh.
That's it.
That's passion.
Yeah, exactly.
That's passion.
It was... And I just recently got into cycling because of the fact that I got in trouble. And so I told my aunt, I told her, my passion for cycling is as big as my passion for painting. And her face was kind of like, because I got in trouble with the eating. And I didn't even get caught doing it. I got caught walking back to the car.
Hmm.
And it's just because I was 17 and I paint.
Yeah, yeah.
So currently I'm Saturdays and Sundays. I do the Jaws program.
Yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
So I have 12 days. I have a $10 fine, ironically. It was really weird.
So let's say you're standing before the judge in a courtroom.
Okay.
The judge finds you guilty of breaking the law, whatever it may be. And the judge says, Chris, it's going to be $1 million fine or the rest of your life in prison.
Yeah.
I'm guessing you can't pay that fine.
Obviously.
I can't. Mm-hmm. So the judge is going to do what's right. You broke the law. You can't pay the fine. So the judge is going to send you to prison for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
But just as he's about to do that, someone walks into the courtroom, somebody never met, walks up to the judge's bench, puts $1 million on the judge's bench and says, Your Honor, I've sold everything, I've sacrificed everything, and because I love Chris, I'm going to pay his fine. Let him go. The judge looks at you and says, Chris, I'm going to let you go, not because you're good, not because you're innocent, not because you could pay the fine. I'm going to let you go because this other person stepped in and paid the fine for you. You're free to go. Would that be good news?
for me.
Yeah, for you. Would that be good news?
Selfishly, but...
Oh, okay, but... Yeah. All right. What would you think of the person who did that for you?
It's hard to say. I can't imagine that situation, though.
Okay,
$1 million $1 million cash, anyway. Like, you know, walking in like that.
For no other reason. No strings attached.
That'd be kind of...
Yeah, you're not going to be asked to pay it back. You couldn't pay it back.
Yeah.
For no other reason that the person decided to love you in this way.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Okay. This is where religion and faith separate.
Yeah.
Because that's a picture of what God did. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin. He lived a perfect life on earth for 33 years that you and I can't live for 33 seconds.
Yeah.
And then he voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrible bloody death he did not deserve to take upon himself the punishment you and I deserve for our sins against God.
Yeah.
You committed the crime. He paid the fine in his own life's blood. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave.
Yeah.
Now, what if in that situation in the courtroom, the judge lets you go, this person pays $1 million fine for you,
okay,
and you're walking out into the parking lot with the guy and you drive a knife in his heart as you're saying thank you and you kill him?
God. It seems like a...
That's what every human being does when they deny Jesus Christ as their Lord and their Savior. They trample under their feet the blood he shed for sinners like us. And so no one who does that ought to be surprised when they stand before God, they receive justice instead of mercy. What God commands of us, Chris, is that we turn from our sin and put our trust in Jesus Christ alone for our salvation. It's the Catholic Church teaches that we have to believe in Jesus, but we also have to do X number of good works. We have to do penance. We have to do all these different things. The Bible says that it's by grace we're saved through faith.
Yeah.
That not of ourselves, it's a gift from God, not as a result of works, so that no man may boast. If you were to knock on my door one day, we're neighbors, and you say, hey, Tony, I'm going to go mow the lawn. I'm going to mow your lawn, Tony, so that I could be your son. I want to do the same thing, but I'm going to say two things. I'm going to say, Chris, one, I appreciate you want to get me out of yard work, and two, I think it's pretty cool that you want to be my son. But Chris, mowing my lawn is not going to make you my son.
Yeah.
Right? Every world religion basically teaches that when you die and stand before God, you'll just look at God and say, hey, God, look at all I've done. I'm ready to be your son. I'm ready to be your daughter. God's going to say, depart from me, I never knew you. But what if you were my son? And you came to me and said, Dad, I'm going to go mow the lawn. And, no, I didn't get popped for graffiti. No, I don't want the keys to the car. No, I don't want anything from you. But, Dad, I love you, and I just want to say thanks, so I'm going to go mow the lawn. That would make sense,
yeah.
Right? No one goes to heaven by mowing God's lawn. But those who God saves through faith in Jesus Christ, we'll want to do those things that are pleasing to God, not for religion, not because we're hoping we'll get something out of it, but for no other reason than that we're grateful for what God did for us by saving us through His Son.
Yeah.
What does God say about Valentine's Day and the lonely people on Valentine's Day?
Well, God doesn't say anything about Valentine's Day.
He brought up a different approach than most people do.
Is that all? Is that really important?
That's all in my head right now.
What? Is that your lonely?
Yeah, that I'm lonely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sorry that you're lonely.
Yeah. What's up? Maybe Jesus will be my friend.
Well, do you know who he is?
Yeah, he's my friend. He's my good friend.
Well,
okay.
Is that all he is? Is your good friend?
Oh yeah, he's my savior.
Huh?
And he's going to me to heaven.
Based on what?
Based on faith.
In him alone?
Yeah.
That's not fine.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I like the church.
So, Chris, big question. Do you believe what I'm telling you is true?
I respect it. I think I'd have to think about it. And
okay.
I am thinking about it.
Okay.
I mean, I think it's
all
crazy. Like, I like the way you approach it compared to most. Like, the men in the suits were like, well, why don't you believe, you know?
Well,
it was like this, it was different. Like, you explained religion and faith. Like, with most others, it's just religion. Like, it's not really, it's kind of more like a recruitment deal. like for like let's say like a timeshare. You get me? like compared.
Well,
to
you know what? I can't save you.
Yeah.
And I can't send you to hell either. I'm just a guy.
Yeah.
But if I care about you as a human being, I'm going to tell you the truth. Right? If you were blind, Chris, and you were walking towards the stairs coming down there at the Oviatt, and I just stood there and I thought, you know what? Man, I hope he turns around. I hope someone will let him know the stairs are there. I hope... too late.
Yeah.
If I really cared about you, I'd grab you by the arm and I'd say, hey, Chris, you're about to fall down the stairs, man. Turn around. Right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm doing with you.
All right.
It's appointed once for a person to die.
Yes.
After that, the judgment. The reality is that none of us know when that day's going to be. It's not a scare tactic. It's reality.
Yeah.
160,000 people die every day around the world. The vast majority of them do not plan to die that day. That's why the Bible says now is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. What you've heard today is the gospel. It's the only message that can save your life. And if God causes you to be born again, extends to you those gifts of repentance and faith, He'll take your heart of stone, give you a heart of flesh. You'll begin to love the things that God loves. You'll begin to hate the things that God hates. And you'll no longer presume upon His forgiveness as if you deserve it. And you'll no longer fear whether or not you're going to get His forgiveness because you're worried whether or not you've earned it. You'll have the confident assurance that you will receive it, not because you're good, but because of the good and gracious and kind mercy of God to draw you to Himself, to give you faith in Christ. Do you have a Bible?
Actually, I do. That I've had for, I want to say, like 12 years.
Open it up to the Gospel of John. It's the fourth book of the New Testament. Same in the Catholic Bible as well. Fourth book of the New Testament. Read it. See if what I'm telling you is true. All right.
Thank you.
God bless you, Chris. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
I know.
I'll be on campus probably every Thursday. If you see me, stop by, say hi. If you have if you have any questions, that card I gave you, there's a... Did I give you one? Oh, I didn't? Oh, okay. There you go. On the back of that is a website of mine.
Okay.
You can get my email through there. No salesman will come to your door. All
right.
But, you know, if you have questions and you want to chat, just let me know.
All right. Thank you.
All right, you bet. Thanks for taking the time to talk to me.
Oh, she'd like to take that. Thanks, guys.
All right. God bless you, man. I'll be praying for you.
With
a whole bunch of homework?
Yeah, math class.
Yeah. Well, I appreciate you giving me so much of your time.
Thanks.
Thank you. Thanks for listening.
Oh, those are from the Super Bowl outreach.
Oh.
Yeah, I had a few left, so I just stuck them in there. Yeah, we had thousands of those made up for the Ravens and thousands made up for the 49ers. And so, you know, if we hand someone a card, go, oh, it's the Ravens. Oh, no, where we got the... We got the 49ers one, too.
Man, I went out street pitching with Jeff Kirkland.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
Good
to see you, too.
You're around.
God bless you. Have a good day. Hey, did you know Jeff's coming out here in March?
Yeah. Jeff is coming.
Yeah.
Totally going to see him.
Good.
Are any of you guys CSUN students? Or are
I'm
you
a
just...
CSUN student.
Oh, cool. Are you a part of any Christian club or anything?
No, not yet. I haven't joined any club yet.
Okay, just curious. Because I'm a part of InterVarsity Medical Christian Fellowship.
Oh, okay.
And we meet on Monday nights from 7:30 to about 10.
Good.
We meet in the US here, so just curious if you were a part of that.
Do you have any information for them? Or?
No, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. That's all right. Okay.
If you're free on Monday night, this Monday we're actually joining, I think it's Black Campus Ministries for, I think it's Black History Month or something like that.
Huh.
So they're having, I don't know, something to do with Black history.
So in your group, how do you go about sharing the gospel with other students?
Well, we just kind of talk to the people in our classes, just
like
being friendly.
Yeah, be friendly.
Like, hey, I'm busy on Monday. Would you like to come with me to my club? It's a Christian club, why not? Just kind of be, I don't know.
And do you guys share the gospel with them during the club meeting?
Yeah, we have a speaker.
Yeah.
First we go through announcements, then we have worship music, and then we have a speaker on different topics.
Uh-huh.
Our first talk this semester was on community, and then last week it was on, or this week, what was it on? It was on generosity.
Generosity. My name's Tony, by the way.
I'm Chris.
Chris? Oh, second Chris I've talked to you today.
Nice
this is Stephen.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, I've had two daughters graduate from CSUN, so campus has a special place in my heart.
Nice.
So Chris, if you and I were good friends, okay, and you knew that I wasn't a Christian, and I just tell you that the doctors have only given me a short time to live, what would you say to me?
I don't know. I've only been doing this for, I don't know, I guess about a year and a little more.
How long have you been a Christian?
About a year.
About a year or so?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, you being a good friend, you would know some of the things I've gone through, and I would share, like, how God has helped me through those times.
Uh-huh.
I would just try and live how God has told us to live, and I mean, I'd share some of the facts, like the gospel has said some of these things, so if I hadn't already invited you to church, I would invite you to some of our prayer meetings and just try and get you involved with some of our community just to see how...
And if I didn't want to do those things, what would you say to me?
I'd still be your friend.
Well, sure. I'd hope you'd still be my friend, yeah. Yeah, but what would you say to me, though? How would you share the gospel with me?
I would probably say I'd pray for you. I'm not entirely sure if this has ever come up.
Oh, okay. How did you come to faith in Christ?
My roommate in high school. I had a friend. He ended up being my roommate for high school. He just kind of had Bible study in our apartment. And
yeah.
Ended up being curious. And I kind of ended up joining the community he ended up joining. I just kind of saw how great the community was and how applicable the gospel is and the Bible. And some of the things that are trying to be done, like helping the poor, just being good to everyone kind of thing. It touched me.
All right. Well, we'll switch now. We'll switch now. Now I'm the Christian,
okay. And
you're my unsaved friend. We're good friends, and you've come to me with this. Let's move a little bit. You've come to me now with this bad news that the doctors haven't given you long to live.
Okay.
What I would say to you, Chris, is this: I said, Chris. In a short time, you're going to die, and you're going to stand before God to give an account for your life.
Right.
God being good, holy and righteous and just, God is going to judge you according to the perfect moral standard of His law, a law He's already written on your heart. If you've ever lied or stolen, taken His name in vain, if you've ever looked with lust, harbored bitterness or resentment in your heart, sinned against Him in any way, He's going to find you guilty of breaking His law. And because He's good, He must punish sin. And the punishment God has ascribed for sin is eternity in hell. Now, you're my friend. I obviously don't want you to go there. That's why I'm talking to you. And that same God who is angry with the wicked every day, that same God who will judge the world in righteousness, He is the same God who is loving and merciful and gracious and kind. And this is what He's done. 2,000 years ago, God the Father sent His Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ. Fully God, fully man, and without sin. Unlike you, Chris, He never once violated the law of God. He was and He is. He always will be the sinless Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world. He lived the perfect life that you have failed to live every day of your life. And about 33 years into that earthly existence, He voluntarily went to the cross. He suffered and died a horrible death that He didn't deserve to take upon Himself. himself the punishment you rightly deserve for your sins against God. And then 3 days later, he forever defeated sin and death when he rose from the grave. And Chris, what he commands of you is that you repent, that you turn from your sin, and by faith and faith alone, put all of your trust in Jesus Christ for your salvation. Does that make sense?
It makes sense to me because I know what you're talking about. I don't know if someone who hasn't tried to, I don't know, encounter religion at all would understand.
Well, here's the thing, Chris, about unbelievers. God bless you.
Good morning.
Good to see you. What's your name?
My name's Dagmawi.
Dagmawi. Did I do that all right?
Yeah.
Dagmawi?
Yeah.
Dagmawi, I'm Tony. This is Chris.
Hi, Chris.
No, that's okay. So, Chris, here's the thing. An unbeliever can't see Jesus in you.
Something to do with the veil, right?
Well, they're dead in their sin.
Okay.
They're spiritually dead. And they're spiritually blind. No unbeliever is going to see Jesus in you. The gospel is a spoken message. Sure.
Are you going to be here? How long do you stay?
I'll be here till about 3 o'clock.
Oh, okay. I'll be back.
Okay, great. Look forward to talking to you. No one is seeking God. They're not seeking God. They hate God. No matter how religious or spiritual they may think they are, they hate God and they're dead in their sin. The only thing that would ever make an unbeliever know that you're a Christian and not just a moral Mormon or a moral Jehovah's Witness is to share the gospel with them. We should help the poor, we should feed the hungry, we should clothe the homeless, but none of those things will save them. None of those things will point them to God.
Right.
All we're doing, if we don't share the gospel with them, all we're doing is making them more comfortable on their way to hell.
I'm not saying it's not important. It's obviously very important.
But it's the only thing that is. Without the gospel, no one goes to heaven.
Fair enough.
You're not going to be able to nice someone into heaven.
I think it's also an active choice. Like every day we actively choose to follow Jesus and we actively choose to repent.
Well, that may be true about the Christian, but the unbeliever knows nothing of that.
Right. So,
and they won't know until you tell them.
Yeah, you would share it with them.
Right.
Share some of the things that you do, why you would do them.
We wouldn't share with them. I'm a Christian because I help the poor. I'm a Christian because I feed the hungry. I'm a Christian because I clothe the needy.
Well, that's not... I don't exactly know how to explain it. I mean, I don't know what it means. I mean, we're both on the same side, so to speak. But
I understand that.
Yeah.
But
I don't know.
But there's 160,000 people dying every day. And the assumption of a lot of college Christian groups is they'll always have tomorrow to get around to the gospel. The gospel doesn't need our help. The gospel needs to be preached. Right?
Right. During our club meetings, most of the speakers are actually, I think all of the speakers are talking about the New Testament, and the gospel is, it's not just the four books.
Well, no, the gospel is what I just shared with you, is that God the Father sent his Son to earth in the person of Jesus Christ, fully God and fully man and without sin.
Right, and I mean, we have Bible studies that are open to, like, this is the gospel and this is how it relates to it, and people are free to talk about, ask questions and whatnot, and I don't know what I'm getting at.
Well, what I'm getting at is that you owe it to both Christ and your unsaved friends to learn how to share the gospel with them.
Yeah.
Because that's the only message that will save them.
I've definitely been trying to do it.
Good.
At work. I think it was on It was yesterday. I was talking with two of my coworkers about the fact that I'm Christian. And one of them has gotten his facts very wrong. He's a conspiracy theorist.
Yeah, those can be scary folks.
But I don't know, just trying to share it.
Did you share with them any of what I shared with you?
It was...
Right. It's like
kind of not
nonsense.
All of it.
And I thought it was even just beyond.
Okay.
But
study.
Yeah.
Word of God says study to show yourself approved.
Right.
Study the Word of God.
I'm sure people they will judge.
And the desire of your heart should be to tell others. Should be to tell others. And there's nothing wrong with making friends with people, nothing wrong with inviting them to clubs and meetings and things like that. But more important in all of that is the gospel, because that's the only thing that will change a sinner's heart.
And I think through community that you can share the gospel that way too, not even through word, but through action as well.
No, nowhere in the Bible does it say that the gospel is actions. The gospel is a spoken message. Romans 10 says, how will they hear without a preacher?
Right.
It's a spoken message. No unbeliever is going to see the gospel in the way you behave, because they're incapable. And that's sadly, that's one of the great fallacies of American Christianity, that if we live good lives, that people are going to ask us why, and they're going to see Jesus in us. It's a man-made tradition that's nowhere in the Bible. Have you ever heard the saying, preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary use words? Good, I'm glad, because it's not true. It's attributed to St. Francis of Assisi, and it's pretty common in American churches, this idea that that we preach the gospel by the way we live our lives.
Well, that doesn't mean anything if the person doesn't know that you're Christian.
Well, it doesn't mean anything if you don't share the gospel with them.
That's true.
That's,
I mean, I know there are a lot of people who go out and kind of, they talk like you're going to go to hell if you don't turn around and repent and be say Jesus is your Savior.
Where are they going to go? Where are they going to go if people don't repent and put their trust in Christ?
They're going to go to hell.
Yeah. Shouldn't we tell them that?
Yeah. I'm saying
we should tell them the whole truth.
There are a lot of people that are going around like that, but that's... there's a little more to it than that, I think. Well, obviously, there's...
Well, it's the gospel. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, the gospel. Right.
So, I know there are a lot of people who do something like that, but I don't... they're also not sharing exactly all the entire gospel.
Right. Yeah, well, we should speak the truth in love. We should speak the whole truth. Absolutely, the good news, that is the gospel. But also the bad news, what are the consequences for not turning from your sin and putting your trust in Christ? Right? People, if we walk up to people and say, God has a wonderful plan for your life, and they're living here in Southern California, it's February, and we can wear t-shirts today, beautiful sky, gorgeous campus, good education, we're not worrying about food or clothing or shelter, I already have a wonderful plan for my life. It's foolishness to them. People will find the cross of Christ foolishness until they understand why they need a Savior.
Yeah, but actually that really explains why there's the people who are, they've ended up digging a hole for themselves, end up seeing, like, finding the gospel a whole lot more meaningful. Like a drug addict who's hit rock bottom, so to speak, and I don't know, he hears the gospel and something touches him or her.
Well, the gospel is, the Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. It could pierce the hardest of hearts. You know, whether you're at rock bottom or you're at the pinnacle of your success, God will draw to himself those he wants to save. And he does that through the proclamation of the gospel.
Out of curiosity, what do you think of
of predestination?
Well, it's in the Bible, Ephesians chapter 1. the entire chapter, first part of the chapter, is all about that. Yeah.
That
God has predetermined who he will save from eternity past. We have no idea who that's going to be. But yes, God is sovereign over salvation. Yeah. Man doesn't determine whether or not man is saved. God does.
Can you tell me what hair color she was without me telling you?
Yeah, predestination's in the Bible. I mean, the very word is used in the Bible. So, yeah, Ephesians chapter 1 is a good place. There are others, but Ephesians chapter 1 is one of the primary texts that talk about predestination.
Okay.
Yeah.
Also, what do you think about the Pope stepping down?
Well, Catholicism is a false religion. He's a sinful man like the rest of us. He wasn't the leader of anything but a religion that denies the gospel. I don't think anything about it.
I don't know. Just
because
Catholicism is pretty big, so.
It's pretty big, yeah, and the way is broad. The Bible says the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many will find it. But the way is narrow that leads to life, and few will find it. The size of a religion doesn't validate it.
Right.
You know, and unfortunately, a lot of people are deceived by the Catholic Church. You know, and if this man was appointed by God to be the Holy See, God, Christ's representative on earth, the vicar of Christ, in what Bible does it say that he can give a 2-week notice? It's just a religion. He's just a religious leader in another religion that denies the gospel. He needs to be saved, as do his followers. They need to turn from their sin and put their trust in Christ alone for their salvation. That's my hope for him. That's my hope for every Catholic. I don't want anyone to perish in their sin. But there's only one way, and that's through faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. Not Jesus plus good works, not Jesus plus a particular religion, but Christ alone.
Someone in the audience, and he would already know their name, address, and illness. Yeah, that's because they're a plan.
You're kind of right, I guess, if you're free to stop by on Monday.
Well, I'm not a student.
Yeah, no. Well, you don't have to be a student.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, I appreciate the invitation. I do. I appreciate the invitation.
Because, I mean, it's Black History Month, where it's community, and where, I think, I actually don't know what the speaker's going to walk in the door. I think it's an open mic.
So, Chris, I'm not, obviously, I'm no one's judge. I can't judge you or anybody else. But how certain are you about your salvation?
And speaking to a little microphone in here.
I don't understand. Can you rephrase that?
Yeah. How sure are you that you are saved, that you are born again?
Well, I don't know what I'm going to be like in the future, so I could end up turning away for whatever reason, and I could end up not being saved at that point.
So how does someone become, if God saves, how does someone become unsaved?
By turning away the way, to going back to their original life.
Well, if a person does that, they were never saved to begin with. Because once God saves a person, they're saved. Then once God causes someone to be born again, they don't become unborn again. Right? Yeah, once a person's born, they can't become unborn. And the Bible says in more than one place that the Word of God, the things of God, the Scripture has been written so that we may know that we have eternal life. And so what I would encourage you to do, not for me, but what I would encourage you to do is examine yourself. Examine your own heart. Paul encourages us to do that in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Examine yourself. Test yourself to see if you are truly in the faith. Because there's going to be many, and I don't know if this is you, but there's going to be many people who will one day stand before Jesus and say, Lord, Lord, didn't we perform miracles in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? You know, and Jesus will say, well, depart from me, I never knew you, you workers of lawlessness. There are millions and millions of people right now who think they're right with God, because they joined a community, because they joined a church, because they prayed a prayer, but they've never truly come to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ alone for their salvation. And again, I don't know. I don't know if that's you. But we can't be saved by a gospel we don't know.
Right. And I feel like I have a lot to learn still.
Sure.
I mean, like,
sure. We all do. We all have a lot to learn.
I'm trying my best to read the Bible.
Good.
As much as I can.
Good.
And trying to.
What are you reading now?
Matthew. I was going through Exodus for a little bit,
yeah.
And then I figured I should probably go through the Gospels again.
A moment ago, we were talking about.
Yeah, you might want to spend some time focusing on the Gospel of John.
That was the first gospel I went to.
Was it good? Good. Yeah.
It's different from the rest of them, that's for sure.
Yeah, and if there, if you have any doubt, if you are questioning in your own heart whether or not you are in fact truly saved, then cry out to God, turn from your sin and put your trust in Him alone. And here's the evidence. The evidence is this. If God has caused you to be born again, you will continue to repent and you will continue to believe. Simple as that. You'll continue to turn from your sin, and you'll continue to put your trust and faith in Christ alone for your salvation. If you ever turn away from that, that means you never were saved. You never were born again. You were always unregenerate, but you practiced religion. Because once God gives you salvation, it's not something you can lose.
Does that mean, like, let's say I'm not saved, and I end up turning back to, or well, not ever being reborn. Does that mean the time that I spent trying to be saved or thought I was saved was just a waste of time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And religion's a waste of time.
So, I know there are people who label Christianity as many things. I mean, or like religion. Would you say it's a relationship?
Well, the Bible says that pure religion is caring for widows and orphans. It's the last verse in James chapter 1. So, religion in and of itself is not a bad word.
Right.
Okay. But the question is whether or not it is true religion based on faith in Jesus Christ alone, or whether or not it is man-made religion. Instead of submitting to the God who created them, creating a God in their imagination to suit themselves.
That makes me think of Scientology.
Well, yeah.
As an example.
Yeah, anyism. Islam, Catholicism, Buddhism, Hinduism, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, atheism. That's a religion. The God of atheism is the God of self.
I never thought of it that.
Yeah, it's just another ism. It's a religion. They deny God's existence, and they put themselves on God's throne.
It was destroyed for the rebels on the right plan.
But there are no atheists according to the Word of God. Romans 1 makes it real clear that men suppress the truth that they know about God by their unrighteousness. Every human being knows that God exists. God has written that on every human being's heart. But they suppress that truth because they love their sin and they love themselves more than they love God. And they create religions to replace God with a God of their own choosing, whether it's atheism or any other kind of ism. Where do you go to church?
Rocky Peak.
Rocky Peak, okay. Yeah, I'm familiar with it. Yeah, yeah, right off the 118.
Yeah. So, I don't know. Yeah. How about yourself?
Faith Community up in Santa Clarita.
I have no idea where Santa Clarita is.
Are you new to this area?
I've been here for 3 years.
Oh, really? Okay. Do you know where Magic Mountain is?
Yeah.
That's Santa Clarita.
Okay.
Yeah, just this side of Magic Mountain is the Santa Clarita Valley, and then just past Magic Mountain is Castaic.
Okay.
Yeah. So College of the Canyons is in Santa Clarita. Cal Arts is in Santa Clarita. The Master's College is in Santa Clarita. And Magic Mountains in Santa Clarita, too. So yeah, just about 15 minutes north of here on the freeway.
Is it really 15 minutes?
Yeah, about that.
I thought it was further than that.
No. No, it's only about 15 miles or so. 20 miles, maybe.
Yeah. All right, well, nice
Good to talk to you, Chris. God bless you, and thanks for the invitation for Monday night. I appreciate it.
I appreciate what you're doing as well.
Okay, thank you. Thanks.
Good luck.
All right, you have a great day.